Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Brandon Lindell, Senior Associate Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Tonight we're going to continue our series on When the Devil Knocks, When the Devil Knocks. And it's such an important series for us as believers. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's so important for us to understand that there is a battle, a spiritual battle that is happening in the world around us. Even though we can't see it with our eyes, we understand from Scripture that we are in a battle spiritually. We do not wrestle, Ephesians chapter 6 says, against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers of this present darkness. And so as believers, we are to be aware. The Apostle Paul says, we're not unaware of the devil's schemes. We're to be aware of what's happening. We don't want to put an over-focus on that, but at the same time, we don't want to be unaware and pretend like that's not happening when in reality it is. Otherwise, we'll be caught off guard and not fighting the battle that we should be fighting spiritually. And last week, had the week off, and Beth and I were sitting in the baby's room, and we were just chilling. And it's post-vision Sunday, and so you're just like, you know, kind of in and out of consciousness. And Beth goes, you know what? We should go to Disneyland. We should go to Disneyland. I'm like, that is a fantastic idea. So we looked up flights and found, like, cheap flights out of Kansas City. And then we had some points that we could use on the hotel. And so we got our hotel with points. And we got up at 3 in the morning on Tuesday, drove to Kansas City, and we were in California by 10:30 in the morning the next day. Isn't that cool? Okay, so the story gets good. So we're going to Disneyland, one of us forgets our ID, and so I had to like run like a mile back to our hotel to get our ID and run it back to the park so we could get in. Turns out you don't need your ID to get in the park. How's that for irony? All right. Oh man, that was awesome. So in the bustle and hustle, as it were, I didn't know, but I left my ID somewhere in Disneyland. All right. So didn't figure it. I went blissfully unaware, like eating ice cream and looking at Mickey's, you know, and watching my kids ride rides and standing in lines. Unaware, I didn't have my ID all day. And so then we get back to the hotel and I'm like, oh no, I don't have my ID. Like, this is terrible. But then turns out Disney is lost and found. We called them. They had it the next morning, which all is well that ends well. And can you please clap for that? Because it was a celebration. I was like, how am I gonna get back on this flight? All that to say, it's kind of a fun story, and it is great that it ended well, and I'm standing here before you because of that. But all that to say, isn't it interesting that you can be blissfully unaware of what's going on around you and be missing some of the most important things that you need? And that ignorance can catch you off guard. Fortunately, I wasn't flying out the next day, and fortunately, the awesome found worked out. But if that didn't happen, I'd be missing like an essential piece for traveling. And very much so, in the same vein of thought, as Christians, we can be just going along through life, and if we're not aware of what the Word of God says and not paying attention to that, we could be unaware of spiritual battles and important things that are happening around us where we should be fighting the battle in prayer, or unaware, honestly, of how the enemy works in our lives, and so we're frustrated and we're coming up against opposition and we're treating it like it's a willpower battle rather than a spiritual battle. And that can really hinder us in our walk. And that can really hinder us in our life if we don't understand those things. And that's why it's important to understand the Word of God. And that's why it's important to align yourself with that. And that's why prayer is so important, so we can go through life with authority and overcoming and understanding how all of that works, all right? So I'll just tell you that as a backdrop to say, hey, lean into this series because the Lord might speak to you and really help you understand things that are going on in your life, how to overcome through those things. Amen? Amen. So tonight we're talking particularly about temptation, when the devil knocks, and particularly the subject of temptation. And so I want to, first of all, give you an understanding of temptation. If you're taking notes, we'll call this the direction temptation comes from. Because it's important for us to understand as believers that God does not tempt us. Temptation is not from God. God does not do tempting. And we find that in James chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I'm being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one, but each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire." Lured and enticed. So God does not do the tempting, and that's really important because if you're a baby Christian or maybe you just don't have a biblical understanding, if you're not careful, you can be like, you know, God's tempting me right now because of some reason that you came up with, or you hear somebody say that. It's important for you to go, no, that's not how that works biblically. God is not, he does not tempt people with evil, all right? So why does Jesus then say in the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation"? And I think it's important, first of all, to understand that Jesus is not saying, like, God, don't tempt us. He's saying, lead us not into temptation. And it's important for also for us to understand that God, while God does not tempt us, God can use or allow us to be tempted for our good. All right, so he is not doing the tempting, but he can use. You know, we were talking earlier about how God can turn this situation for the good. God works all things for the good of those who love him. And so if you're tempted, God can work that for the good. And so there's times where God allows us to be tempted, because honestly, if you've ever walked through temptation as a believer, then you know that instantly there's a humbling factor that comes into play. There's an awareness that you don't have it all together, because you can sometimes be like, wow, I can't even believe that I'm tempted by this. I've thought I'm farther down the track spiritually, or I thought I'm better than this. There's an instant reliance on God, all those things being very good things, all right? So when we pray, "Do not lead us into temptation," we're recognizing the fact that there are times that God allows that in our lives, but we're also understanding that when Jesus says to pray that, he's saying, "Do not lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And I think it's very cleared up. There's a quote that I'm going to put on the screen by Martin Luther that helps us understand this. It says, "Temptation is the best school into which the Christian can enter. Yet, in itself, apart from the grace of God, it is doubly hazardous. That this prayer should be offered every day, 'Lead us not into temptation,' or if we must enter into it, 'Lord, deliver us from evil.'" So our, you know, just like a trial or pain, we, you know, it would be, it would be not appropriate, or it would be not the right way to pray to say, "God, give me pain, and Lord, I pray for trials." All right, you know, if you're praying for that, that's not really how you're supposed to pray. We rejoice under trial, but we're not looking for those. All right, we're not like, man, I just, you know, I'm just praying more trials into my life. All right, same way with temptation. While God allows temptation to our life, we would say, "Lord, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil." We recognize that God can use that for the good, but we're not looking for it, okay? And we're praying that God would deliver us. And that's how you can understand that prayer. Now, the devil is called the tempter in Scripture. There's two ways we can be tempted. James made it clear in the verse we put on the screen in James chapter 1 that each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he's dragged away and enticed. So while we are Christians, we still have desires, fleshly desires, that reside in us. And those desires can cause us to be tempted, especially when stirred by the devil, who is known as the tempter in Scripture. And so there's a few scriptures that we can put on the screen for that. But Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "And the tempter came and said to him," this is Jesus when he's being tempted, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." It's calling Satan the tempter. So he's the primary source of temptation, and he uses desires in us and weakness in us to tempt us to sin, all right? So who's the tempter? The devil is the tempter. You know, 1 Peter says this, that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. He's looking for opportunities to tempt you, which leads us to the second point, the desperate situation that temptation puts us in. Because the devil is looking for opportunities. It says in Luke chapter 4, when the devil finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the opportune time, which tells you a lot about how temptation works, that Satan is looking for opportunities in our lives as believers to trip us up. He loves nothing more than to cause us to stumble, to cause us to sin, to cause us to get our eyes off God, to tempt us, but he's looking for the right opportunity, waiting for the right moment. You know, he knows your weaknesses. He knows what desires lie in you, and he's waiting for those moments. And that's oftentimes why, you know, you can be going along through life and you can be blindsided by a temptation. Have you ever been blindsided by a temptation that you're like, man, where is this coming from? You know, like that sort of sense of like something that maybe when you were a young, like a new believer, or even before Christ, that you dealt with, and all of a sudden those past sins seem real and alive to you again. And you're like, man, I thought this was way back there. And all of a sudden, it's like that all of a sudden would be a good way to say that. It's because the devil looks for opportunities when you're tired, looks for opportunities when you're weak, looks for opportunities when you're in compromising situations, looks for opportunities where you're just going along and not thinking about it. And he looks for those opportunities to stir up desires in you and cause you to stumble. Like we said, he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's a great picture of how temptation works in our life. And it should cause us to go, God, we need your help. God, we need your help. Because part of that opportunity is the enemy looking for moments when he can not only use your weakness against you, but also use your strength against you. When he can turn the very thing that you think makes you strong against you to tempt you. I think Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German theologian, and I think he says this really well and helps bring this to life for us. And we'll put this on the screen. The temptation of which the whole Bible speaks does not have to do with the testing of my strength. For it is the very essence of temptation in the Bible that all my strength, to my horror, and without being able to do anything about it, is turned against me. Really, all my powers, including my good and pious powers, fall into the hands of the enemy power and now are led into the field against me. Wow. To think, you know, because isn't it so true that, and what he's saying is that, you know, you think you're strong in an area, and that very strength causes you not to rely on God in that area. And it's because you think, man, I've overcome this, and that's not a battle for me, and blah, blah, blah. And you're going along, and you think you're so strong in that area, and that very strength the enemy uses against you to separate you from the Lord and to cause you to be self-reliant and cause you to come under temptation. That he can use your strength and your weakness, and it's really to your horror, which I think is a very powerful word and way to say that, but it also helps us understand the desperate situation we are in if we're apart from relying on God, that we cannot stand on our own. So I think it's important as you process temptation in your own life and the things that you're walking through and the things that the enemy would want to use in your life, not to go, man, it's just a battle of willpower and I just need to get better at this, but to say, this is a spiritual battle that will only be won spiritually, and if I'm going to stand, I'm going to have to fight with some spiritual tools. And it's not, there are things that you can put in place, you know, places that you shouldn't go or places that you shouldn't be or maybe people that you shouldn't hang out with, and that will definitely help. But the inward battle and the overcoming of sin and temptation in our lives happens as we pray and as we put on the full armor of God. So until you have that understanding, you're going to keep fighting a temptation battle that you cannot win through your own willpower. And it's really important that we understand that, that this is not just a willpower battle. This is a spiritual battle. And that's, man, why times in God's presence and times in prayer, personally and corporately, are so important, because we fight the spiritual battle in the presence of the Lord. We interact with the Almighty God in the presence of the Lord, and we find strength from Him. So who gets the glory? He does. And we draw closer to Him, which is a wonderful thing in His desire for us and for our good. But that's the only way the battle will be won. So at the core of tonight, if you can walk away with anything, it's saying, if you're finding yourself under temptation, constant temptation, and you're not able to find victory, then maybe you're fighting the battle in the wrong way, and you need to pray through. And praying through is not just saying, I prayed one time and man, I was just still here, you know? Praying through is saying, I'm gonna get in the presence of the Lord and I'm gonna pray until I see God move in power and I see His strength. And it may be that you see the strength of God or He strengthens you, but you will see Him move and you will be relying on Him, and that will be a wonderful thing, but you'll never find it unless you do that. So that causes this desperate, hopefully you see this desperate situation we're in, the dependent, and then finally the dependence that helps us overcome. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, really illustrates in beautiful language the spiritual battle and how we fight the spiritual battle that's happening around us. In verse 10, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the devil, the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." So once again, not a willpower battle, but against rulers and against authorities and against the cosmic powers of this present darkness and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. How do you stand in the evil day? What's the evil day? The evil day is the day that your desires combined with your fatigue and your weakness, combined with an opportunity to sin and be tempted, all come together and you have no power on your own to stand against it. That is the evil day. How do you stand in the evil day? You stand by putting on the full armor of God, which is completely available to you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It's available to you, that you don't have to fall. And you know what? The Bible says that that God would not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear, but He gives us a way of escape. That's the God we serve, the God who wants to strengthen us, the God who wants us to rely on Him for our good, but the God who wants us to stand through Him. So I pray that as you get a little bit of a sense of desperation, that you also have a sense of hope, that we are able to stand in the evil day. And so I want you to note that our standing comes through our relationship with God and using the tools that He's given us. And prayer is a big part of us overcoming temptation. This same chapter in Ephesians, it says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication." And so therefore, there's the answer for if you're not able to overcome, what do? You pray. Prayer is the battle tool. Prayer is the battle tool. And it doesn't matter if you think you're good at praying. I think that can trip a lot of people up. Well, I'm not good at praying, so how will I ever fight the battle? I want to encourage you tonight. It's not about being good at praying. Prayer is just talking to God. Prayer is saying, and being real with God and saying, God, this is where I'm at. And God, this is what I need. And God, I pray that you would use this not to drive me farther from you, but to drive me closer to you. You know, temptation is not sin. To be tempted is not sin. It's when we act on the temptation that it becomes sin, whether that's in our heart or physically act on that. Temptation itself is not sin. But we will not overcome temptation on our own. We have to have God's help. You have to have God's help. And so I pray that tonight, a desperation's in your heart, but an encouragement is in your heart to say, you know what? I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna get into the presence of the Lord, and you watch his strength flow into your life, and you'll be an overcomer. And when the devil knocks with temptation, you'll have the full armor of God on, and you'll be able to stand and stand firm and watch God work in your life. Amen.